He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
I want to read for you today from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41. Luke chapter 2 says, "Every year his parents, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.' 'Why were you searching for me?' he asked. 'Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?' But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So having just gone through Christmas, you've had probably an example of a family reunion, of gathering together with family and people around you. And one of the things I love about those family reunions is it is a time when you can kind of sit down, relax, talk with the other adults, and your kids can go and play with the cousins. And you don't have to have quite as tight of a look, a close eye on what they're doing, because you know, hey, they're out there playing with their cousins, they're having a good time, and the aunts and uncles are just as likely to correct something if they see it as you would have to. And so you can kind of relax, and it's just everyone knows everyone gets along, sometimes gets along, everyone, we all are family here. We know each other. We know the home or the location or whatever the case may be. And so this is, it's a lot kind of a more mellow time. You don't always have to kind of have that eagle eye on your kids. The last church we were at, it was a lot like that too. A small congregation where everyone knew everybody. We knew everyone's names. We knew everyone who came, and it was great. So Alex was about 3 years old, And after we had been there a while, we just knew everybody, and he would play with the other kids there, or another adult would take him with him and say, "Hey, why don't you come help us get this or that other thing?" And so we didn't have to have a sharp eye on him either. And so sometimes I would be talking with somebody and having a conversation with them, and I'd say, "Oh, I wonder where Alex is." And I'd look, and I was like, he's probably with his mom. And then Jen would come up and start talking. So she'd say, "Hey, where's Alex?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't know, but he's usually hanging out with Sue or Becky." And so we continue talking with whoever I was talking with. And then Sue would show up, and she'd start talking too. Like, "Well, where's Alex at?" "Oh, well, probably with Becky." And then Becky would come. I mean, you see what's going on. We're going, "Okay, well, maybe we should start looking for him now." And sure enough, he'd be with Vicky or something. And, he'd just be, but he was always in good care. But if you've ever had a moment where you couldn't find your child, you're at the mall or you're somewhere public and you're like, "Wait, where is my child?" And you look, and in that moment where you're like, "Wait, where are they? They were just standing right next to me a moment ago. And I turned and looked and they're gone." Like, panic strikes, right? That anxiousness of where are they? Where are they? What happened? All the Lifetime movies you've ever watched jump to the forefront of your mind, and like terror grips you and start looking and searching until you find that indeed they just went to the candy aisle or something. But that moment is an anxious moment, and that is what has happened here. Now this is a trip. It's easier for us to say, "Wait, how do you not know? How do you not know where your 12-year-old is after an entire day?" But this is a trip they've been making for 12 years. This kind of pilgrimage trip. Every time they knew the stops, they knew the routes, they knew everything, and they went as family, right? So just like how I had painted, when you're with family, a lot of times it's easy. "Oh, they're with Aunt so and so or Uncle so and so," and so they're trying, they're doing this. And also, I know that in the 21st century of helicopter parenting, At 12 years old, parents are asking, wait, I had to go back to work the day after Christmas. Are you old enough to stay home or not? I mean that's the debate parents are having with their 12-year-old children. But 12 years old, just even a couple generations ago, let alone 2,000 years ago, they could work. they could be held responsible to take care of things. And so here, like they could help shepherd the flocks. They could help take care of. They were learning already the trades of their parents to find out what it is that they to become experts in their field. And so Jesus, even at this time as a boy, is one who was probably accustomed to a lot more responsibility than most 12-year-olds are accustomed to receiving right now. And even so, the parents were probably much more accustomed to giving him a leniency. But for whatever reason, he escapes their attention. And so they are a day out, and now it's a hurried day back. And then the next day is knocking on doors, retracing steps, trying to figure out where have we been, where might he be, trying to figure out where in the world did he go. And they finally find him in the temple. And it would be one thing just to treat this as a passage about the relationship between Jesus and his parents, but it is so much more than that for us as well. Imagine for a moment that I had read the entire Gospel of Luke for you. I decided not to do that this morning because, you know, it would be one of my longest sermons ever. But if I had read the entire Gospel of Luke for you, we would have noticed a few things. We would have noticed, for instance, that the temple in Jerusalem have a primary place again and again in the Gospel of Luke. Just in the last couple chapters, Zechariah, he's in the temple when he hears, you're going to name your son John. And John is going to be the Baptist who is preparing the way for us to receive Jesus Christ. Jerusalem is the location that he's on the way with his disciples to throughout the gospel. In the gospel, all of his ministries are happening around Jerusalem. And as you progress through the book, it's like they're getting closer and closer and closer to this city. And it's in Jerusalem that Jesus is crucified. It's in Jerusalem just 3 days later that he is resurrected. It is about the temple of which Jesus says, destroy this temple and 3 days later I will raise it again. And so here we find Jesus and he's in the temple speaking with the teachers of the law and learning everything he can about God and about his Father and about the law. And he says, don't you know this is where I would be? This is where I need to be about my Father's business, to be in my Father's house. And it says Mary here treasured these things or pondered these things in her heart. That Mary realizes that there's something going on here. And even when Luke records it that way, he wants us to look at the story not as just the boy Jesus who was left behind and then had to be found again, but as this is pointing to something bigger. That we need to think about this. This is something worth remembering because this is always seems to be pointing to something more. Jesus is found in the temple 3 days later, it says. 3 days. It's 3 days after he's crucified that he's raised again. And I think there's a similarity here. I think we're supposed to find in Jesus that to be about his Father's business, when the parents are looking for him and they are worried and they are scared and they are anxious, as he says, he's as good as dead until he's found. He's outside the family. They don't know where he is. And after his crucifixion, Mary will be going to the tomb to try to find Jesus, asking panic to the gardener, where did you put him? Where did you put him? And of course, 3 days later, what they find is he has been raised from the dead. That Jesus is found and find out that what Jesus has always been about is his Father's business. And that in the resurrection that what we find is that God's plan for his people is indeed that they would all come to salvation and come to know and accept the grace and providence of our Lord. Jesus has said, I am just wanting to be in my Father's house and be about my Father's business. I found myself wondering if I've told you about Ellen yet. Ellen is someone in my first church who incredibly sick, incredibly involved in the church. And I asked her, I said, you need to step down. You need to take a step back. You really need to, you are terminally ill, and you need to step back and relax a little bit. You are doing way too much. And she said, Tim, what else am I going to do? What else am I going to do? This is the time God has given me. I need to do as much as I can for Him. And I found myself thinking, she's saying exactly what Jesus is saying here. I just need to be about my Father's business. I want to be doing everything that I can for God in this time that He has given me. And it is something that has stayed with me. It's something that I haven't been able to forget or unremember. It is something that has stayed with me to say that what I want to be about as a follower of Christ is about whatever it is that God is going to allow me to take part in and to be involved in, that other people might come to know God. Mary's treasuring these things in her heart, that Jesus has said, I want to be about the Father's business. And I think what we find in this passage is a lesson for us as well. That as we've come out of this kind of Christmas season, actually we've just kind of entered into the Christmas season. We've actually just exited out of the Advent season. But as we've kind of said, wait a minute, we've celebrated Jesus' birth. We've kind of talked about this, but what now? What happens next? We know the new year is coming, with it often resolutions and those kinds of things. We make promises about what we're going to do. But what happens for us in our faith? We have been saying we're waiting and we're waiting for Jesus to come. But now that we celebrate that He's come, what happens now? I think what we find in this passage is what happens now is we say, God, what do You desire in my life? What is Your role, Your business for me right now? And that our job is to continue to be looking for Jesus. Say, Jesus, where are You already at work and what's going on in my life? Where are You already directing me? Because I think when we find ourselves looking for where Jesus wants us to go, and where Jesus is placing us, and where we might find Him, we'll find indeed that God is already preparing us and preparing His message to be received. And like Mary, we are called to take in all that God gives us and to hold on to it and say, this, I am ready to hear and receive what God is going to share with us. I think that we must take care not to lose sight of Jesus during this time. Everything in our life points to something more. Everything that happens points to something bigger. In this passage of Scripture, you have Jesus going to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. This Feast of the Passover is the feast that celebrates their deliverance from Egypt, from slavery, into a land of freedom and hope, a land flowing with milk and honey, into the Promised Land. It's during the Passover that Jesus will go to Jerusalem again, when He'll be crucified. In this, 3 days after He's lost, He's found again. After He's crucified, 3 days later, He rises again. I think in this story of the boy Jesus at the temple, if we were to hold this story in our mind as we read the entire gospel, as Mary holds on to this story, we would not be able to help but think this story is pointing to what Christ does for us on the cross. And in our life, as we look for where Jesus is at work, I think sometimes we won't be able to help but see, I think all this is pointing to who Christ is and what He's still doing for us. And so that the trials and the tribulations that come our way, we can say, okay, these are the kinds of trials and tribulations that Jesus would have had to face as well. And the Spirit of God that was with Him and raised Him is the same Spirit that can be with me as well. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too can know that God will answer all those trials and tribulations, and He will also raise us up in the last day. That in this story we find indeed the story of Jesus who was born for us and for our salvation, that salvation is offered to us and is our promise for the new year. It is my hope that as we step forward into a new calendar year, but also step into this Christmas season and beyond, that we will be asking, God, what is Your role for me this year? God, where are You already at work in the lives of those around me So that as I share Jesus with them, we can find they have already been asking those questions, and you've already been beginning and germinating an answer, that when I share with them my faith and how you have answered for me, that they might be able to see how indeed this makes sense with their life because of what you have already begun to do. I believe that the grace of God is the grace that continues and begins its work even before we know God is there and before we know God has been involved in their lives. And so then we are called to be those witnesses in our world and to our neighbors, because God is already at work warming hearts and answering their questions, so that when we come to them with the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they can say, yes, I am ready to receive that. Would we be willing to be those kind of people who are willing to seek out where God is already at work? It is my hope that in this story, we find in Jesus the one who is always pointing us to the God who has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And whatever comes our way, the grace of our Lord is there to raise us up and lead us forward with hope. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.